Hey everyone, this is Jesse Gasparo, and this is a Practical Christian Podcast. With me today, as always, Jesse Baptiste.
Hi guys.
And as sometimes, Peter Campbell.
What's going on?
How are you guys doing?
What?
Doing good.
All right. Our question today is, how should we approach controversial issues such as abortion, homosexuality, and gender identity in today's society? Good question. Definitely challenging. I think we all relate to this. Jesse, you want to open us in prayer, and then we'll start off.
God, our Father, we want to thank you for this podcast. We want to thank you for letting people ask these questions. We ask you again to use this podcast for your honor, for your glory. We ask you to lead us as we would answer this question. We ask you again to have the word fall on good ground. And again, we ask you to direct our conversation. We ask you to help us as we continue to look into God's word and to really be able to help others who are struggling with questions like these. And again, we thank you for this opportunity tonight in your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, in precious name, amen.
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 So, initially reading this question, I was like a little bit stressed. And then reading the question a little more, it seems to be more about how do we approach these topics and talking about these topics rather than like, let's spend the time answering them. So that made me feel a little bit better, but you know, it's still, these are challenging things, especially for Christians in this time period and in our culture right now, especially in the United States. And there's always this sort of, there's this cancel culture we live in, which kind of creates this sort of little bit of fear and hesitance to share your opinion on things. Especially if you're coming from like a Christian background where, you know, your opinion on certain topics varies greatly from a lot of society. And so it can be a little intimidating. You know, we're told that the world is going to hate us, right? And so the Lord told us not to fear, you know, and not to worry, you know, when you're told to give answers, you know, we got to trust the Spirit of God for this stuff. But, you know, with all that stuff being said, let's kind of just approach this. The first thing I was thinking about, you know, in terms of talking about difficult topics, right? The Lord was often presented with difficult topics and difficult challenges. They would even bring, like, they brought sick people in front of him on the Sabbath day. They brought a woman who was caught in adultery and put her at his feet, right, and challenged him with a difficult scenario and a difficult situation. And the thing that I find very interesting is his way of dealing with difficult questions is sometimes he asks questions back, but oftentimes it's almost like he ignored the question and kind of turned the conversation towards the gospel. And this is the thing that I think is important to do, is sometimes we get caught up in the hot topics of the day, not the clothing store in the mall, but the, you know, these difficult scenarios and issues. And we lose sight of the really important thing, right? Especially if I'm having a conversation with an unbeliever, they need salvation and they need to know Christ. And if I get in an argument about something like this, you know, whether it's abortion or gender, pronouns and things like that, I sometimes lose sight that they need to know they need salvation first. That's the first step. And to come to that, is so critical, right? Because I can get lost in conversations and arguments, and oftentimes arguments just kind of further entrench us in our positions. And debates don't really, I always find that debates are not helpful, right? Whoever you sided with initially, you're going to think they won the debate. And so that can be difficult. But really, like to look at this person as someone who needs to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And the Lord, when he dealt with sinners, right, sinners came to him all the time. He never like emphasized the fact that they were a sinner. He never like shoved that in their face. He never did any of that, right? He came, he was loving. He would heal them. He would tell them, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more, right? Like the change in behavior happened second, right? Whatever it was, whatever the issue was, that was a secondary thing. The primary thing was you need forgiveness first. And so I think it comes down to that. And right, like sometimes we put different valuations on different sins, and that's not right. We kind of talked about this before we started, but the first sin in scripture is disobedience, right? They disobeyed God. And that was the sin that sin came into the world, right? We're all born in sin. We're all sinners now because of that singular sin. Now, like, do I value disobedience less than fornication or less than adultery or less than any of these other things? That's not right, right? We need to kind of have God's value. And so I'm a sinner. And Paul would say, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm a horrible sinner. And so is everybody else in the world, right? And Jesus needed to die and come and die and give his life for myself and for you. And so that's the starting ground, right? We're all equal. So often, like, we come in as like Christians are portrayed as these holier than thou people. And we need to be so careful of our, like, how we come in with these topics and how we bring this up. But we're all just sinners, right? We all have sins that are in our lives and that Jesus needed to save us from. And so I think that's the starting point, right? To not lose sight of the gospel. The gospel comes first. And we have that in Corinthians, where he talks about, you know, such were some of you, but you have been washed, right? And so we all have our different sins. We all have our different baggage that we come with. And Jesus is capable of saving each and every one of us. And he's capable of washing us from our sins and transforming us.
Yeah, I think it covered a lot there. But I think the basis of the question isn't to go into how or why these things are, where we have an understanding as Christians what we believe. So there is that understanding, but these things are all prevalent, maybe more prevalent in the world today than it had been in the past. So going through our daily lives, whether we want to or not, there's something that's going to come up that would reference these things, whether it's, you know, it might even be a conversation or something on social media or TV show or movie or something like that, that there is going to be times where we are either approached or they come upon us, these issues. And I think if we kind of have our mindset the way Jesse was alluding to, this is sin, that these things aren't maybe higher than other sins or looked at differently, we might have a special place in our mind or our judgment for things like this. When we're approached or we interact with those and this becomes a conversation topic, we don't want to really argue this, as Jesse was saying. It's not something that will usually be productive. the more you argue something, the more entrenched you can kind of get in your own belief, and that would work for the other side of the argument too. So I think it's important to kind of see it from that side, and always reference what the Lord would have done in difficult situations like this. They would come with riddles and things that they know would trick him in specific things. Not to say that that would be something that we would be approached with, but he found a way to do that. And a lot of times he would ask questions back or turn the conversation, as Jesse said. So there's a lot to it. But it all comes back to us individually, how we can interact with others. Because if our purpose here as Christians is to be good testimonies and to witness to others and just be examples, we don't want to turn others off to really coming to the Lord. And this might actually be a situation or something that might make things worse rather than building them up or leading them down a pathway that would lead to the Lord instead.
Yeah, all these topics are polarizing, mm-hmm. you know, conversations. I mean, abortion, gender identity, sexuality, homosexuality, and stuff like that. And so I think it's, we know what's right and what's wrong as Christians, right? And it's really comes down to is, do we want to be right? Or are we trying to force, you know, people to our viewpoint? We know we are right because what the Bible says, but the Lord doesn't call us to force people to our viewpoints. He calls us to win people to the Lord. And so I think that's as you guys were saying, I think the main focus is for us to first deal with the other issue, which is sin. And then, you know, kind of, you know, speak the Bible says speak the truth in love, right? It also says a soft answer turneth away wrath. It talks about, you know, I think in Matthew chapter 10, and I think around verse 19, it says that, you know, he'll give us the words in which to say, you know, when we're saying. So I think it's part of being led by the Spirit, is by having the heart of Christ as we talk to people. It's not going off of our own feeling, because again, if I talk in the flesh with these things, I'll make so much mess, right, of our testimony, of our thing. You know, even though we are correct, as we know we are correct, but it's tact in the tone in which you say these things when you're having these conversations. As you brought up, whenever the Lord spoke with these people, he could have condemned them, he could have come down on them, he could have said all manner of things to them, but he always went to them in a loving way, right? You know, I don't condemn thee, right? You know what I'm saying? Go and sin no more. You know what I'm saying? The woman caught in adultery. All these different people that he came in touch with, his tone, his tact, his approach was an approach where they felt no judgment, right? And the thing is, sometimes we could come off as judgmental. We could come off as, I know I'm right and you're wrong. And so it comes off adversarial, as you were talking about, Peter. And so it comes off in a way that it turns people off. And so I think, you know, we have to have the Spirit lead us in what should I say at this moment, right? Because you could prepare to say something, but it may not be for that moment, right? And I think we have to go and see, you know, have the Spirit of Christ, you know, as Apostle Paul, he said, let the love of Christ constrain, you know what I'm saying? Let it control you and your behavior and how you should act. But yeah, I think these are good conversations to have, but again, I think it has to be a conversation that's led by the power of the Spirit, or you're going to go into, it's going to be a lot of mess.
Yeah. And like you were saying, when the Lord would have interactions like this, he said, he was the only one who could have condemned them. He of course, had done no wrong, so he would be the only one who could have done that. When we're talking about sin in general, he had given that example. Whoever hasn't sinned or done no wrong throw the first stone when they were going to, and no one could throw the stone. So when we kind of get into that, and kind of seems judgmental, like you said, Jesse, we sin as well. We don't really have a condemning nature to those around us in the world for these kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking of that same verse, Peter. Let him who's without sin cast the first stone. So often we hear that, people use that to justify their actions. But I think it's important to have that in our minds before we begin a conversation, right? Yeah. So it's not something to throw out at someone who's accusing you of something, but it's something that I challenge myself with before I engage someone who, maybe it's someone who's, who's, you know, dealing with one of these things, right? Maybe it's someone who's having issues with gender dysphoria and feels like they're the wrong gender. Or maybe it's someone who has homosexual, you know, feelings and has who's a homosexual or who's, you know, dealing with some other issue, right? It requires tremendous sensitivity. And I think we need to understand that a lot of times these issues, for whatever reason, we've somehow made sexuality and made gender the main part of your identity, right? And that's not who you are as a complete person, right? But somehow that's become the most important thing in our culture, right? Like your pronouns are the essential part of your identity. And in scripture, we don't have that, right? Our identity is all wrapped up in the person of Christ, right? He's given us a new nature. He's given us a new identity, right? He's given us, he's completely transformed us. And so that's really difficult. And we also live in what's called like a post-truth culture. We've talked about this in a previous podcast, right? Where truth doesn't necessarily matter except what your truth is, right? And so that requires a tremendous sensitivity because they need Jesus, right? They need the one who is truth. And so we have to just be really sensitive to these things and to it really, I think the way you approach the conversation depends on the person you're talking to, how they've brought it, how it's come up, how they've engaged you, because realistically, this shouldn't be the first thing you talk about when you're trying to win someone for Christ, right? This should not be. And I just think of the woman at the well, right? She had how many relationships? She was going from man to man to man to man. And the Lord didn't bring that up right away, right? He addressed it, and he addressed it in a really kind way. You know, he asked her about it. And so what does it tell you? Like, what is what she was dealing with? What does it tell you? She was looking for something, right? She was craving something that she couldn't find anywhere. And that's what he was getting to the point. Like he said, I have something that will satisfy your soul, right? She couldn't find satisfaction in anybody, but he had the answer. And so he was able to draw that out of her. And so obviously this is the Lord. This is the Son of God who is omniscient. He is love. He is all of the things. He is the holiest being that, you know, exists. So it's so challenging for us to kind of have that sensitivity and that grace. And to we're told to like consider, you know, consider yourself when you're having these conversations, lest you fall. We have to be so careful, right? And we're so numb to certain sins, especially like fornication and sexuality and violence are so rampant on our TV. And it's so hypocritical of Christians who get disgusted and turned off by, you know, if there's gay characters on a show, they'll turn off the show, but they were watching it when all these couples are sleeping with each other and having all these relationships and they're having all kinds of sexual relationships. Like that's, you know, that's also a sin too, right? You know, the way we value sin is wrong sometimes. We put it on pedestals and we have a tier system of sin, like lying's down here, you know, you know, having sex outside of marriage is up here, being gay is up here, you know, and that's not, no, sin is sin is sin is sin is sin, right? Every sin Jesus had to die for. And to have that grace, like I've sinned probably more than some people who aren't Christian, you know, and so I need to have that sensitivity that if I can see them the way Jesus saw them, right? If I can see the person I'm talking to the way Jesus saw the woman at the well, if I can have the conversation and see the person the way Jesus saw that woman who was caught in adultery, the way he saw the sick, the way he saw all the tax collectors and the sinners and all the ones who would come to him, they felt comfortable being around him, even though they knew who he was, even though they knew he did not approve of what they were doing. They felt comfortable to approach him. And there's something really beautiful about that, that he was able to have that perfect balance of love and truth and righteousness and mercy. And we need to emulate that. And that's so hard to do. And we need to pray. We need to be in the Word. We need to let the Spirit of God work in our lives. And we need to, you know, make sure there's no, you know, we make sure there's no mote in our eyes when we're trying to pull the speck out of our brother's eye.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's a good reminder. And I think you were saying this earlier about some were such of us, right? And so I think we have to always be mindful that, you know, we're sinners saved by grace, right? We could have been in the same plight if it wasn't for the Lord. And I think, you know, sometimes, and I'll be honest, right? I mean, sometimes as Christians, we feel we're better than others, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, well, you know, they're, you know, this or stuff like that. And so it also feeds into Christian to Christian, right? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we feel I'm more spiritual than this person or something like that. And my thing is that we should have the Spirit of Christ, right? Or somebody who, again, as we said before, he was perfect, right? He if you want to talk about superiority, right? You know, he was overall, right? He was perfect person, right? But he was a person who went around, you know, healing the sick. He went around going, he was so much with sinners that they said he's a friend of sinners. They said he's a wine bibber because he was so much in their company because he wanted to reach these people. They chastised him for it. But a scripture that I'm encouraged with is in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, let your speech always be in grace. And I think that's the Spirit of Christ also, that we should be those when we talk that we should be gracious to others. We should remember that we're sinners saved by grace. And it says, having been seasoned with salt to know how it behooves you to answer each one. So as we speak in grace, as we're led by the Spirit, we'll be able to know how we're supposed to answer others. But we'll also treat them in the way that Christ would have treated them. And I think that's one of the most important things because, I mean, sometimes if you go in the attitude like, look, I'm a Christian, you're a sinner, and, you know, even though we know they need to be saved, if you approach them in a way that, oh, you're this and you're that, and, you know, that's dangerous, right? And I think we live in a world, like you said, a post-truth culture. We also live in a politically charged culture, right? And you know that sometimes they use these different topics to further their political avenues, which way, right or left or whatever. And I think we can't get pulled into that either, right? I think we have to just look at it and say, look, these are people, as you said, these are people who need the Lord, or there are people who are going through maybe a tough time right now, and we shouldn't be pulled into these politically charged conversations or go in that vein. We should go in the vein that, look, this is somebody I need to reach out to. Lord, give me help. Give me understanding how to talk to them.
Yeah, and I think what's difficult too is kind of how culture and things are geared now is if you don't speak positively of these things, or if you don't have an open mind about there's opinions out there and there's beliefs, but you have to have these certain beliefs. It makes it extra difficult that if these things that we don't believe are right, it seems there's people who disagree with that and that they're frowned upon in culture and society. So it does make it kind of extra difficult. But as we're saying, to kind of approach it from this kind of way, it's not easy. So you definitely need help. But I think having that mindset, I think a lot of these questions, the responses and kind of what happens if you have that mindset, obviously easier said than done, but if the focus is Christ and what we can do to bring others to him or follow his example, as cliche as that might sound, it kind of gives us the framework and something to rely on in everyday life and these issues that might come up.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about 1 Corinthians, and they were dealing with someone who was having sexual relationship with his father's wife, and they were tolerating it, right? They were being very tolerant. They were, you could say they were letting love be love. They're consenting adults, you know, let them live their life. But Paul is like, no, this is not right. But the important thing I think we need to realize is that was within the church, right? He's judging something that's happening within the Christian setting. He says specifically the last half of chapter 5, I think it will be helpful to read it. He says to them, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. So he's talking about, listen, the people who are outside of Christianity, you're not supposed to be imposing your Christian morality on them. That's for God, right? And so, at least for me, if someone says, you know, what's your opinion on this topic, I would say, as a Christian, Scripture tells me that my responsibility is to judge those who are within the church, within the Christian company, and that I'm not supposed to impose the Christian moral standard on those who are not Christians. And so that's between you and God, right? And I think if you put it that way, like the choices, the way you live your life, the decisions you make, the things you're doing with your life, that's between you and God, right? And I it's not my responsibility to tell you what to do, but I would tell you this, and then like you bring the gospel in, right? But I would say, listen, I'm a sinner too, and we're all sinners, and we all deserve judgment, but God loves us just as we are. He loves us, but he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, right? But we're you know, even though he loves us, we're not able to get into heaven just because he loves us. Someone had to pay the price, you know, to redeem us. And that's what Jesus did. And so I think it's so important. Like we live in a Christian country, quote unquote. It's not really like I have a problem with putting the label Christian on things, whether it's like Christian music or Christian programming or Christian nation or whatever, right? Like that's an unhelpful label because it kind of imposes our Christian morality on people who are not Christians. And that's just not, we're told specifically not to do that. So it becomes very unhelpful when like it's not helpful. And I think it kind of makes us feel like we can impose our Christian morality on unbelievers. And that's just not the case.
Yeah, that was very helpful. That whole paragraph there in Paul's writing sums it up. I think in regards to this and other issues.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it all depends on how the topic is brought up, right? If someone comes and genuinely asks you those, you know, you're a Christian, how do you feel about this? And they're coming in a kind way, or there's like, how do you feel about this? And you can know they're challenging, you know, and looking to do something.
Argument.
I think it takes wisdom to like diffuse the question and, you know, just bring the gospel in. And that's not easy, right? That's a challenge. And there's also, I think there's also an element of like, don't cast your pearls before swine. not to, you know, call anybody swine, but there's that element of like, understand the situation and the conversation you're in. Understand where, like, what the motive is, and it all has to come from love, right? If we're having this conversation, hopefully it's with someone that you genuinely care about. And it's so hard to have it's so hard to disagree in our society right now, because if you don't agree with me on everything, then you're a horrible person and I'm never going to deal with you ever again. You're just the worst, and you know, no one should ever be friends with you. And it just becomes this like really crazy society. And
it's very adversarial.
Exactly. And that's not how we're supposed to be, right? Like, we're supposed to be able to engage and agree to disagree on things. And obviously, if I like, if I believe the God of the Bible is true, is real, right? If I believe that, if I believe that, like, he's the all powerful creator who is one day going to judge the world, who sent his son to die for me. Like, if I truly believe he exists, and that I believe the Bible is his word that he gave to us to help us live here, I want to live by that, right? Even if I think things are weird in here, or even if I think like, why does that matter? Why can't this or that? Like, no, I want to align myself with the God who exists. And like, as a Christian, that's like my view, right? Like, maybe there's some stuff that I wish wasn't in there, right? There's a lot I wish wasn't in here, right? As far as like how we're supposed to live. I wish I could be, you know, more selfish. I wish I could be, you know, I wish there weren't some things that I know are wrong that I'm not supposed to do, right? My flesh wants to sin. I want to be able to live, you know, in certain ways that are just wrong. But I can't, because the Bible explicitly talks about this stuff. And so it's so challenging. This question is not an easy question, and just really appreciate the question. I don't know if we answered it to the satisfaction of anybody. It's such a hard thing, and I think every single conversation, every single individual you talk to about these things is different, and it takes wisdom and grace. And there's no cookie cutter answer, right? Like, it's going to be a different answer for a different person, depending on who you're talking to and the situation you're in. And so thank you both for taking the time to answer and to have this conversation. Thank you to whoever submitted this question. It's a really good one. And I think, especially in our day and age, it's a challenge for all of us. We've all thought about these things. And it's not easy it's hard to be a Christian just in general. But it's getting harder to stand by the word of God and to kind of take a stand for him. So it takes boldness and courage. And Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was willing to be a prisoner. And it's getting to a point where that might be something we have to, you know, choose, right? We choose not to be ashamed. And so God has to help each of us. I do not like having conversations like this, especially like talking about this stuff to unbelievers is challenging, and it's not fun. And so it's not always they're not always easy conversations. So we need the grace of God. Thank you guys again. Appreciate it. just to those listening, just we thank you for your prayers. Please keep praying for us. Pray for this podcast and this platform, that the Lord would use it for his glory and honor, and that we would be able to not just have these conversations, but that it would be practical and that we could apply it to our lives. So just keep praying. God bless you guys, and God bless everybody.